The scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for October 29th, 2017. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the Rolex Paris Masters from France, as well as review the WTA Finals from Singapore. Let's introduce our co-host for this week. Parsa, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, and I get a chance to record another podcast with you. How about that?
Perfect. So Parsa, we got a lot to discuss this week. We had the WTA Finals, WTA Tour in general, wrapping up today with Caroline Wozniacki defeating Venus Williams 4-4 in the finals to win the biggest title of her career, as well as just dominate the week. I mean, she was the best player of the week. It was interesting because last week you asked me in our pre-tournament, how's the court surface playing? And honest to God, I thought that it was going to play quick. But, you know, lo and behold, it's a very slow court surface. And that's why you see somebody like Wozniacki, you know, beating the likes of, you know, Pliskovas and Venus and all these hard hitters, right?
Coming through. Destroying some of them.
Yeah, and it's just dominating. And, you know, she won just a little over a couple million bucks, and she's back to number three in the world. So, again, I mean, this is an era right now where we have, you know, Serena Williams not in the mix and Sharapova not at her best. So you're going to see results like this. But you know what? You got to give credit where it's due. I think as an overall, you know, the WTA season for me was hit and miss. I mean, yes, you get the compelling storylines, like a lot of different winners, which if that's your thing, it's great. There's not a lot of continuity from my end that I could follow and really, you know, get behind. But there was a lot of, you know, players that were coming up and, you know, like Svitolina, like Carol Garcia, like Wozniacki, Venus had a resurgence. All of these different stories. Sharapova was back in the mix, won a small tournament last week before the season was done for her. And I mean, I just think that it was good overall. Just want to get a quick you know, recap of you from today's final in the tournament, and then just an overall for the year, and then we'll move forward.
Yeah, I mean, just utter dominance for the most part for Carol Wozniacki. You'd think maybe she'd fall apart a little bit in the final, but very routine, very, very normal type tennis for her, almost like she does it every week. So kudos to her. I mean, just the best players in the world. She basically dominated everyone who is the best player in the world right now and just destroyed everyone. It was just incredible. Maybe the storyline of 2017 for the WTA is you sort of just don't know what is going to happen, and just a new story or a new person popped up and dominated the play, as it was with Sloan in August or in early September for the U.S. Open.
Yes.
And Svitolina earlier in the year, and just it just Serena winning Australia. It just everything was just sort of a pop up of one person. That's how I'd say the WTA, and I kind of like it. Now I'd like to see a couple of rivalries going on, and
yes,
then basically WTA would be golden.
Of course. And, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think we're all really looking forward to the Australian Open, both on the men's and women's side, because you're going to see a lot of players coming back. You know, Serena, Novak, Murray, Wawrinka, Milos, you know, Sharapova is going to be back in the mix. So it's going to be, I think, an amazing tournament. And I'm really, really looking forward to that. Moving now to the men's side, we had Lucas Pouille, Frenchman, defeating fellow countryman Tsonga, who's trying to get into the World Tour Finals. He kind of stopped him there, beat him in straights to win his third title of the season, as well as his third different title. I believe he's won in Budapest on clay. He won Stuttgart grass, and then he won on indoors in Vienna. So that's an amazing effort for Lucas. Very talented guy. Kind of fell off the map a little bit this year compared to his quarterfinal finishes last year at Wimbledon and the U.S. Open. Tsonga, as we know, has now won four titles this year with Antwerp last week, four smaller tournaments, but he's still on the cusp of qualifying, and you know he's going to be ready to go starting tomorrow in Paris for the Paris Masters, something we'll get into in a second. And then the match of the day for me on the men's side was Federer taking out Del Potro. I mean, who is this Federer guy, man? You know, 36 and some change, no problem. You know, just coming in there and just you know, smoking that forehand in the corner, serving, and just amazing, amazing effort by RF19. And just love watching this guy. Just looks like he's and he's so, you know what it is, Parsa? I think I looked at this, right? And I was like, why does this guy keep playing? And you know what? Forget about himself. Have you seen Mirko when he's playing and matches are close? Man, she is into it, man. And you know, when your wife is behind you and she's like, listen, you know what? You got to keep going. She's super competitive, eh? And I'm telling you, that's one of the dominating forces as why he's still out here. If she wasn't into it, you know what I mean? If she didn't like tennis and she didn't like winning, I'm telling you, Federer would have been done a few years ago. But I'm very confident because, you know, they got four kids. They have more money than they know what to do with. But it's just winning. They enjoy that whole competitive environment, right? And I think that's really what it's all about for them. And kudos to the whole team and just doing amazing. So just get some of your views on today's match, Federer overall, as before we move into Paris.
Just really amazing. You know, I marvel. I mean, I was telling you right before we got on air, I mean, he could be the best player in the world right now. I mean, that's crazy. I can't comprehend it. You know, I would understand one or two great results because he's better, but a season of dominance, I mean, basically what he entered, I think he lost first round twice, and then he lost in the quarters of the US Open, and then everything else he entered, he contends or wins.
Yes, this is like his 10th or 11th tournament of the year only.
I mean, it's incredible. How does he do that? So whatever his secrets are, he should write a book like Tom Brady did and share it with the rest of us. How about that, Nima?
Well, you know what, Parsa, before we move on, one of the best things I heard this week, and honestly throughout the whole year from an analytical standpoint, was Mark Pecci. He was doing a little bit of commentating on Basel this week. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to him or if anybody else out there did. I'm sure a few of you did. But he had an amazing couple points, and he was talking about, like, there was a match where Pair was playing Federer earlier on in the event. I believe it was second or third round. And he was saying, you know how we all talk about Benoit Paire being this temperamental guy and he gets down on himself and he can check out, right? And he said, you got to look at it from a different perspective. This guy has a glaring technical weakness, which is his forehand. If he didn't have that, would he be mentally stronger? I think he's 100% right, and I believe at 100% he would be. But because he has such a glaring technical weakness, he's going to get down on himself and he's going to get mentally, you know, upset and down, right? Which ultimately comes back to Mark's point. He was saying that tennis is a skill game sport. You know what I mean? And you need skill to play this game. And if you don't have that, you can be the hardest worker. You can be the fittest player, but you need the skill. You know, Pair doesn't have that skill on the forehand, and that's why he struggles. And he said for him to have got to 18 in the world, he said that's a monumental achievement in his views. And I completely agree with him. Because the guy has a zero forehand at the end of the day. We know this as coaches, and a lot of people out there would agree with us. I'm sure Benoit Paire would even agree with us, right? Now, that's not to say he's going to not try to do better or whatever, but when you look at a guy like Federer, when you look at a guy like Djokovic, I mean, these guys have such complete games. We can see that kind of in Alex Zverev coming up. There's not a lot of technical holes there, and that's why these guys win. And that's why they feel mentally strong. Right, because they have the skill and they have the technique. Just some quick words on that before we break down the Paris draw here.
Yeah, I mean, I can't agree more. It's an extreme skillful game, but there are physical aspects of it.
Yes,
and you know, like defending from the corners or defending a Del Potro powerful shot, and that's where the you know, I agree with Pecci. Obviously,
yes,
what he said is spot on, and you can't get much more accurate than that. And but there's always in any argument, there's always just some sort of, you know, yeah, that explains a lot, but how do you explain this, you know, and that's how I feel, that's where Federer gets me anyway. And he makes me think in that way. Like, you know, there's a lot of explainables. He's amazing. That's the number one explainable, and he's skillful. You know, but how he just continues to do it is just, you know, I guess he's the most skillful. How about that?
Yeah, definitely has that going for him. And I think that that's, and he has love for the game, and he's got, you know, the support of his team and his wife. So I think that's, you know, the driving force behind his success.
I heard Anacone on Tennis Channel saying, you know, it's, you know, he's got the energy to do these, you know, before Basel starts. He's got 3 days of activities, of lunch with all the volunteers, and the day before that he's meeting with someone else, and then he's got all these sponsor events and all these kinds of things. And Tracy Austin was like, ah, that's just so exhausting and tiring. And like, Federer still goes around and does this with a smile. And
yeah,
just
he eats it up. Yeah, he loves it.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's like crazy. Work never bothers him. No. It's not work, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. If the rest of us could only be so lucky, right?
Right.
And as we move forward now to the Paris draw, we got the final Masters 1000 of the season. Cool tournament. I just think that it kind of always gets shafted with its placement in the calendar year, as we mentioned in last week's show. But lo and behold, we're here. Nadal is back. He's ready to go. Federer, as of now, is still entered in the event as the number 2 seed. We got Alex Rev as the number 4 seed. We got Marin Cilic as the 3 seed. And then we got guys like Querrey, who's on the cusp of qualifying. Carreño Busta, Tsonga, Del Potro, Anderson. So we're going to be looking for those 5 guys. But is that necessarily how this is going to play out? I think this is either going to go, and this is not like a revelation, I think this is going to go kind of true to form, or kind of true to form. I don't know, but it's going to be, I think, a weird tournament. That said, I like Nadal's quarter here. He's got the likes of Ramos Vinolas, Querrey, and Carreño Busta to get to the quarter, to get to even the semis, really. And I think that he does it. What's your call on this section here?
Yeah, 100%. This is the... It's going to finish 2017 with a bang. We're going to get the old guys, baby.
Yes, I think so. And then you got Alex Zverev as the 4th seed. Kind of looked a little bit jaded to me in Vienna, to be honest with you. Depends how, yeah, it depends how, you know, amped he is. He's already into London anyway, so I think he's going to chill for a bit. But he's a competitive guy as well. He doesn't like losing. He hates losing. Then you got Delpo, who I would love to see him qualify for London. If there's one guy I would love to see in London, because you know he can challenge Nadal, he can challenge Federer, and he can beat these guys. But he's got to make it. And I just think you're going to see maybe a guy like Carreño Busta, and all due respect to him, he had that cupcake draw at the US Open, and you know that's why he is where he is right now with all those points. But I would love to see a guy like Delpo get him, but he's got a lot of work to do here. So with that said, I don't know. I mean, if he can go on, you know, if they put him on Wednesday, he's got a couple days to relax. Flight is not too bad from Switzerland to Paris. So this second quarter is going to be tough for me to determine, but I think Dimitrov comes in a little bit fresh. Isner could be dangerous here. He likes his surface, but I'm going to go with Delpo with some mojo to make the semifinals to face Nadal. What do you have?
I want you to be right, 100%. Yes. I have a feeling it's going to be Dimitrov. I think he hasn't moved up a level, Nima, but I don't like him, you know that, but I think he's moved up half a level.
Yes.
There's something happening. He's a little bit more consistent. He's definitely fighting into the corner or out of the corners just a little bit more for a little bit longer.
Yes.
The dog in him, if there was one that existed, it didn't seem to show its ugly head this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's the kind of guy that takes advantage of opportunity. And this looks fortuitous for him in that guys can be checked out. But we'll see. That Delpo and Dimitrov quarterfinal will be a beauty. So we'll see.
And then next up we have Goffin, who is trying to get in. We got Tsonga, who's trying to get in. We got Batista Agut. We have Cilic. Lots of stuff happening here. I mean, Cilic to me obviously is a no-brainer, but for some reason, I think just based on adrenaline, you're gonna see Tsonga get through this section here and make the semifinals. That would be my guess. What are your thoughts on this? Or maybe even a guy like, I don't know. I think Shapovalov is cooling off a bit, and I don't know if he's gonna have what it takes. I mean, Benito's gonna be tough in the first round tomorrow night. But yeah, I think I'm going with Tsonga. I'm going Tsonga semifinals.
That's a great pick. There's 3 guys that kind of catch my eye. It's weird. It's Goffin, Mannarino,
and Cilic. Really well. Yeah.
For some reason, I feel like if there's a tournament that the problem with Mannarino is he's going to probably lose first round, and that's the problem. And and who knows what happens from there. He's gonna have to play terrific tennis to advance.
Yeah.
So I like the Tsonga pick. He's definitely in form. I'll go Goffin here.
Yeah.
I just think he's a little bit of a half a level better right now.
Yeah, and but he might be tired, and he's got the Davis Cup finals too. Don't forget that. So he's got a lot on his plate. Mannarino, as everybody who follows knows, is my favorite player. But the problem with him is he struggles against these guys who don't have a lot of pace. If you blast the ball at him, I mean, yeah, you can overpower him and win. But if you give him kind of not the max power, but maybe the 7, 8 out of 10 power, then he's amazing. He can redirect the ball. He hits that really flat, bunt kind of cross-court lefty backhand. He's got that lefty serve on the ad side, which is awesome. And he's been playing amazing this year. Having a banner year, but a guy like Ferrer is just such a grinder, and then he's got Goffin, who's a grinder, so I just don't like that, you know, that dynamic for him. If he was in a little bit of a different section, even against a guy like Isner or Troitsky or somebody like that, I think that I would like his chances a little bit better. But, you know, I think I'm going to go with Tsonga here. And as we move to the fourth and final quarter, we got Dominic Thiem, who's been subpar since losing to Delpo at the U.S. Open, must be said. We got Anderson, who's going to be, you know, chomping at the bit to get in here. He's going to have a tough first round hit. Well, his second round will be against Verdasco or Rublev. I like Rublev going forward in the future. Jack Sock, really don't like what I've been seeing from him lately. Looks like he's out of shape, too. He's gaining a lot of weight. I don't know what he's up to. And then we have Roger Federer. If he plays, I still don't think he's going to go that deep here. I think it would be really tough for him to go and win this tournament and then go and win London.
Let me stop you right there. My draw has him withdrawn, so that must be it. I just brought it up. It looks like Federer withdrew with back.
So he is out?
Reason. Yep.
Okay, so he's out. Okay, so there you go. So that makes it a lot easier for me here. I'm going Kevin Anderson right through to the semifinals. So I'm going, who do you have?
Yeah, I mean, a great pick. I have to go with the inform here. I think Lucas Pouille is gonna end his season very successful. I'm gonna pencil him in into the semi here.
That's a fantastic pick. So I'm gonna go. I'll give you mine quick. So I'm gonna have Anderson and Tsonga. I'm having Tsonga move through to the finals, and then at the top I have Nadal and who did I have? I had Delpo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Del Potro. I'm having Nadal win that. I'm having a Nadal Tsonga, and I'm having Nadal win this title. What's your pick?
Yeah, very good. I've got Nadal, Dimitrov. I obviously have Nadal going through there. And then I have, I didn't really pick anyone here. I named three guys. Well, I'll go for argument's sake. We'll go Cilic and Pui. And then I think it's going to be Nadal and Pui in the final. And I think Nadal is going to win the whole thing.
Yeah. I think he's ready to go. He's going to grind away. And I think the surface is not playing super fast from what I've been told. So we'll see how it transpires. August going tomorrow. So Parson and I will be back next Sunday to review this, and then we'll have all of the finalists for the final eight in London. We'll get ready to go for that. With that said, thank you, Parson, for joining us this week.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody out there for listening. For anybody looking to get down to the ATP World Tour Finals in London, make sure to hit up Top Notch Tennis Tours. If you're looking to get down to the Australian Open, make sure to hit up Grand Slam Tennis Tours. You can also follow this podcast on iTunes. Make sure to follow Parsa at ParsaSammy on Twitter, myself at Tennis Connected. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks again for listening. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.